Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hello and welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Connolly with you again. Glad to be with you on this great solemnity. If you were listening on Friday, this great solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Why so great? Well, of course, for a number of reasons. One, Peter, the Prince of the Apostles. And you know, I gotta tell you that as I grew up in a Protestant tradition and spent many years in an evangelical Protestant tradition, Peter was always, you know, I think Peter connects with all of us as Christians. We read about Peter and we think, yeah, I can see that. He's certainly not portrayed as a picture of perfection by any stretch of the imagination. We see him being impetuous and we see him being, rather quick to jump in situations where he's not necessarily sure of what's going to happen. And then, I'm thinking specifically of like getting out of the boat, walking on the water. But of course, the lesson there is always that he got out of the boat and he certainly did act by faith. We see him at his highs, we see him at his lows, and we connect so well with him. But again, going back to my growing up days in the Protestant world, I certainly connected with him, but I didn't realize how much he actually stands out in the New Testament as the Prince of the Apostles, as the leader of the band of apostles. You know, more and more as I continue to look at that, I'm thinking, how did I miss that? I mean, go through and read in Acts, read in the Gospels, how many times we read about Peter and his being kind of a representative of the apostles through his words. He's always listed first in the lists of the apostles that are in the New Testament, and he is very frequently the one speaking on behalf of the apostles. And of course, he was the apostle to whom Jesus said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So there is certainly a lot to be celebrated in St. Peter, and I hope in this archdiocese, I don't have to convince any of you that St. Paul is worthy of a little celebration as well, because he is our patron saint of the archdiocese, and it is certainly something that we want to hold up, we want to celebrate. Regardless, if you are listening on Saturday or Sunday, you know, you can still celebrate St. Paul. Obviously, we should. And we should always remember, you know, sometimes I give little tours to young kids that come into the cathedral, and I ask them, so, here's a quiz question for you. Do you think that St. Paul is, the Cathedral of St. Paul is named after the man or after the city? And time and time and time again, our young people will guess wrong, quite frankly. They'll say, I think it's named after the city. Well, no, obviously. Initially, it's named after the man. In fact, going all the way back to Father Lucien Gaultier, who was sent as a missionary priest to this area, to a small settlement that was on the banks of the Mississippi River, decided to name his little chapel and dedicate his chapel to St. Paul, and thus eventually convincing those settlers there that they should not call the little community Pig's Eye Landing, but actually St. Paul. And hence we have St. Paul, the capital city of Minnesota. Anyway, much to celebrate with Saints Peter and Paul this weekend, and I hope that you will, invoke their prayers a little bit more, maybe read some of St. Paul in the New Testament, read about St. Peter, read some of St. Peter's epistles in the New Testament. Today on the Rediscover Hour, we are talking about a couple different things. It's a true variety show today. We're going to be talking about Partnership for Youth. Have you heard of that? Partnership for Youth. Amy Cummings and Annie Colling are here in studio with me to talk about more about what that's going to be about. And then, do you like going to the movies in the summertime? Are you a moviegoer? Is it something that takes up your time? Then is it something that you like to do? Is it something that you actually go to in order to learn about life and your faith? Joining me later in the program, Anne Marath is here to talk about some summer movie going and some things that you might want to see and might not want to see. So we're going to talk about that as well. That's what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour. Let's pause here at the beginning, as always, and commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And Saints Peter and Paul, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll be coming back right after this with Partnership for Youth with Amy Cummings and Annie Colling. Lots to talk about, so stay with us.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a give first organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a give first organization. Give them a call today.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. Joining me now in studio is Amy Cummings and Annie Colling. Amy is the Partnership for Youth Executive Director, and she's been such for the past 16 years. And she received her BA in Organizational Management from Concordia University and has used that skill set to lead, manage, and organize both volunteers. She enjoys spending time with her husband and her two-year-old, Eddie. Annie is also with us. She is the marketing coordinator for Partnership for Youth. And as a Steubenville Conference's attendee as a teen, she's thrilled to be part of an organization that brings Christ to young people. She hails from Jordan, Minnesota, and blessed with a loving and supportive family. Welcome, ladies. Good to have you on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks for having us, Patrick.
Yeah, wonderful. All right, let's just start with the basics. Okay, Partnership for Youth. That could mean a whole bunch of different things. So what is Partnership for Youth?
It sure could. So Partnership for Youth is, we're an organization that provides transformational Catholic events for young people. And we've been serving high school and middle school students now for the past number of years. And so we just really provide conferences and events that impact their lives and draw them closer to Christ. We want them to encounter Christ in a deeper way and invite them deeper into their faith journey.
Okay, excellent. I like how succinct that is. All right. So, but give us, flesh it out a little bit for us. I mean, what kind of events, what kind of conferences do you put on?
Absolutely. Most people know us for the Steubenville Youth Conferences. That's what we started doing and continue to do through this day. Steubenville Youth Conference is a high school conference, a weekend conference for high schoolers. We serve teens primarily in the Midwest, but we certainly have attendees from across the United States that come to our conferences here in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And we also offer a couple other smaller events. I'll let Annie speak to those.
Yeah, we also have an event called Intermission, which is for high school youth, and it's an evening-long event that involves adoration, reconciliation, mass, depending on the parish, a speaker, a musician, and a similar event for middle schoolers called Ignite, same sort of setup. And then we actually have a brand new middle school event that is coming up in March, March 23rd. It's a Saturday. It's a day-long conference for middle school youth, kind of on the same scale as Steubenville is. So
that's March 23rd of 2019.
That's correct.
All right. Well, you are planning ahead. I
like
it. Yeah. Very good. Where is that one going to be held? Do we know yet?
Yes, we do. It's actually going to be at the Radisson Blue Mall of America.
Oh.
So it should be a fun evening. We'll have some special opportunities for exclusive pricing on Mall of America attractions for after the conference is over. So they can go to Nickelodeon Universe or Sea Life.
Wow.
So it should be fun.
And Radisson Blue is prepared for these middle schoolers to
Oh, they better
them.
Be.
Very good. So, the Steubenville conferences are becoming more and more widely known. Do you remember when the first Steubenville conference was here in the Twin Cities?
Yes, actually, the first Steubenville conference was 2001 and at the University of St. Thomas, which we still host it there. And then in 2007, because we just had so many young people who wanted to attend a conference here, we opened a second location. So Steubenville Rochester started in 2007. And then just 2 years ago in 2016, we opened our third site, which is Steubenville on the Lake. So, and that's located in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And
wow.
Yeah.
It's expanding.
I know. It's
going
exciting.
All over there. Yeah. How many youth show up in this area of the world for those conferences?
So between our three conferences, we have about 5,000 or so attendees,
wow.
But nationwide, or actually across North America, because there are Steubenville Youth Conferences throughout the summer across North America, we serve about 53,000 teens every summer. So it's a large amount of high school students who are experiencing an impactful dynamic weekend with national speakers, highly focused and rooted in the sacraments and the Eucharist. And we just find that young people are impacted. You know, if you were to ask any youth who attended a Steubenville conference, what was your favorite part or what part of the conference did you have an encounter, a deep encounter with Christ? They would either say in the Sacrament of Reconciliation, experiencing Christ's mercy, or they would say during Eucharistic adoration and the procession when the monstrance, the priest brings the monstrance super close to them and they have just this intimate moment with our Lord.
So let me just make sure I've got this straight. We're talking about 53,000 young people across the country who are saying that, yeah, my favorite part of this weekend conference was confession and or Eucharistic adoration.
Yes.
That's what you're telling me.
Yes. We
that
are,
is which, amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
So fantastic.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Annie, how about you? You were a Steubenville Conference attendee.
I was.
It was obviously it made an impression on you. Tell us a little bit about your experience with them.
Yeah, so I went to the Steubenville Conferences as many times as I could. So I started going right after I finished my eighth grade year and then went every year through high school. And it was just a really impactful weekend for me every time. Obviously, it kept me coming back. But it was at these conferences where I was able to finally understand what my Catholic faith meant, and also understand what the Blessed Sacrament really was, and understand that, oh, this really is Jesus. We don't just say this is Jesus, but it really is truly Him in the sacrament. So that's where I really first understood that. I also developed some really strong friendships at these conferences in my groups that continued to hold me up in my faith and still do today. So I'm really grateful to now be working for Partnership for Youth. This is my first year, and this will be my first cycle of Steubenville conferences, so I can pay it forward to people like my teenage brother who will be coming to the conference this summer.
Nice. And Annie, you are the marketing coordinator, so you must have your work cut out for you. So, well, do a little marketing for us here. Tell us about Steubenville conferences that are coming up.
Yeah, so these Steubenville conferences, we've got three coming up. One is in Steubenville, Rochester, as Amy said, July 13th through 15th. Then On the Lake is July 20th through 22nd. And St. Paul is the 27th through 29th. So that's the closest to home. And you might see a little Steubenville traffic, hopefully, around here.
Yeah.
Coming from all sorts of different states. We've served 42,000 youth in partnerships for youth's existence, and then from 19 different states and Canada, actually,
wow,
will come down for our conferences. So
yeah, so students come from all over the place to these conferences. It's not just like a local thing, although I know that a lot of local parishes take part in that as well.
Absolutely. A lot of local parishes certainly take part in it, but a lot of youth groups too like to do that travel piece. You know, they want to get on the bus and they want to travel to San Diego or to Denver or to the campus at Franciscan University. And a lot of good ministry and discipleship and accompaniment happens on the bus trip. So we don't, you know, we want to encourage that. But the flip side is a lot of people then travel to Minnesota too or to Wisconsin to our conferences. So get on the bus and go as well. We do have a lot of local people too. In the three dioceses in which we actually host our conferences. We have great support from all of our bishops in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, Diocese of Winona, and then the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. So we're super blessed to have great support on the local level. And then, and also with Franciscan University, which is where the Steubenville Conference has actually come from. So kind of just a little bit to tie that together. The Steubenville Youth Conference started at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. And it was as an outreach and evangelization tool, I guess, for them. And many years ago, over 40 years ago now, and now they have 25 Steubenville Youth Conferences across North America every single summer. And then they have five of them directly right on the campus at Franciscan University, kind of that home site. So we're a satellite site, you could say, or kind of a franchise of the Steubenville Youth Conferences.
I like it, a franchise. Yeah, okay. So give us an idea of who are the... You said we have national speakers who come into these things. So who are some of the speakers who either have come or who you know are coming up? Annie?
One of the speakers coming to Steubenville on the Lake this year that people have been really excited about on social media especially is Matt Frad. So he's a really great speaker, especially to young men about topics like pornography. You know, at the Steubenville conferences, we really don't shy away from tough issues because they are real issues that the teens are experiencing in their lives. And if we're not talking to them about it, then who is? And so we want to make sure that we're giving them the tools they need. Other speakers coming to our sites this year include Sarah Swafford, Stephen Ingrassano, Katie Prejean-McGrady. We just got a huge number of really great speakers. And then Sonar Worship does our music at all three of our Steubenville sites. So they're a local Catholic band to our area, and we're really blessed to have them at our sites.
Right. Okay. So Steubenville. Now you gave me the impression anyway that you do other things as well, that Steubenville isn't the only thing that you do. So what else does Partnership for Youth do?
Yeah. As Annie said at the beginning of the program, she mentioned a couple of our other events. We just wanted to continue to support high school students throughout the year. So you kind of have this great experience at a summer Steubenville conference, possibly. But then what can we do locally to keep young people plugged in and also offer opportunities for our youth ministers to come to an event where they're not having to do all the planning, all the setup, hire the speaker, you know, all of those details. We want to just remove any of those roadblocks and just say, bring your kids. So intermission is an event we've been doing for a number of years now. And this is an event we take to a parish. So a parish would invite us in, or a cluster of parishes or kind of a community would bring us in. And it's an evening of praise and worship, Eucharistic adoration. A small presentation would be given as part of that evening on a particular topic, and then reconciliation would be offered as well. And so, and some parishes expand it to include a mass, and then maybe a little dinner offered by the Knights of Columbus. So there's a lot of tailoring and customization that can be made out of that program. But we've done that here in the five-state area for a number of years, just going out to parishes and bringing in some speakers that they may or may not have been able to hire themselves, or maybe a big name speaker, or even giving a platform for some of our up-and-coming Catholic speakers to have an opportunity to speak to our young people and to share that message of Christ with them. So that's one of the events that we've been doing for a number of years. Ignite is not as many years, but it's still, we've been doing a long time. It's a middle school event, so similar to the intermission. It's an evening where we, again, go out to the parish. So it also takes away any roadblocks of travel and having to bus kids, or so it could be, it's hosted right at the parish, and maybe other local parishes come. And so that too is Eucharistic adoration. Lots of fun and games and shorter presentations because of being middle school kids and attention span is a little bit shorter. So we want to cater to that. And then also giving them the opportunity for the sacraments of reconciliation. and Eucharistic Adoration again as well. And we've just had some wonderful parishes partner with us over the last few years to offer that particular middle school event. And we know that I think middle school ministry is becoming essential to the work that we do in the church. You know, studies will show us that young people are making decisions about their faith at the age of 13. I mean, which just, I know for some of us might seem just baffling, right? Like how could they even be prepared for that? But they're experiencing and are being challenged in this world today with, you know, some of the most difficult decisions, I think, for our young people. And so we just felt over the last year and a half or so, we've just have been really called to minister to middle school kids in a deeper way. The Holy Spirit's really been moving. And so that's what brought us to offering our brand new event called Rise Up Twin Cities. And we wanted to be able to impact the lives of middle school students and help them already on their journey towards, you know, to live their faith out for the rest of their lives. And we know that youth ministers and parents want that too. They want their kids to remain in the Catholic Church. And so how can we help them do that? How can we come alongside parents and youth ministers and pastors to, you know, offer an opportunity that they could, you know, bring their teens to, bring their middle school students, you know, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders to, and make an impact in their lives and an invitation for them to journey with Christ and not leave him out of their life and out of their decisions that they make.
And that Rise Up Twin Cities is the March 23rd, if I got that right, mm-hmm. March 23rd, 2019,
yeah,
here at the Radisson Blue down at Mall of America, which, I'm not a middle schooler anymore, so I guess I can't take advantage of that. But but I do know that probably have a number of listeners. So the Rise Up in the Steubenville Conference is probably different ways of finding about that. But I want to start first with the Intermission and the Ignite, mm-hmm. Because you said parishes will invite you in to host one of, or I suppose maybe even both of those events. So Annie, how can parishes find out about how to contact Partnership for Youth to issue such an invitation?
Well, the best way to find out more information and to also see if there's already one planned in your area is through our website, which is our name. So www.partnershipfor.org. And on there we list all of the events going on. I know we've got some events planned in the works for next year. And then they can also contact our office if they're interested in starting their own event. So our office number is 952-224-0333. So either, like I said, our website, partnershipforyouth.org, or that phone number, 952-224-0333, are the best ways to contact us about those. And in addition, just to piggyback off a little bit of what Amy was saying about our other events, Intermission and Ignite, we're also doing different event services this coming year. So we've been hired by dioceses for a couple of these things to do events for them, like a middle school youth rally or a high school youth rally. So Diocese of Superior and Diocese of Crookston are two dioceses that have hired us to do event services with them, which can look a lot, you know, many different ways. It kind of is a la carte what they need from us to help them plan their event.
I like it in that sense of the events that you do. You know, a lot of people will say, well, you can't just build an entire faith off an event. And I think you would probably agree with that.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you know, I'm thinking back to our patron saint of the day, St. Peter. So Jesus took Peter, James, and John up Mount Tabor and had this amazing experience of the Transfiguration, right? And Peter, of course, God bless him, was the one who says, you know, it's good that we're here, Lord. Let's build three tents for you and Moses and Elijah and, you know, for, in fact, we're even told, and the evangelists tell us that, he didn't even know what he was saying. Because those kind of mountaintop, in that case, literal mountaintop experiences, they lead us back down into the plains and even into the valleys of life. And those things are things that can sustain us from time to time.
Absolutely, Patrick. I mean, I think this Steubenville conference has often been referred to as kind of a mountaintop experience. And I think one of the things is that planting of the seed, you know, and we see that particularly in the area of vocations for our conferences. We do what's called a vocation call on Sunday morning at the end of Mass, asking young women and young men to come forward if they feel even that little calling on their heart, like a little invitation from Christ to either become a parish priest or a diocesan priest or a religious sister or brother. And we ask them to come forward and we ask them, tell them we're going to pray for them about their vocation. We're going to, the bishop, if he's there, will bless them and ask them to go on a retreat, you know, to speak to another priest or religious about their vocation. And so we have the Charis study, and if you're familiar with that, they are showing us now from the results of this, of surveys, which they ask priests who are ordained and religious sisters who are taking final vows, if they attended a Steubenville conference as a high schooler, and did that influence their decision to become a priest or religious? And 17% of priests in the United States are saying yes, and 21% of religious are saying yes to that question. Wow. So we know that, you know, we're just starting, you know, we're just helping them to just even explore the opportunity of praying about that that religious vocation.
Yeah.
So that's
planting
exciting.
Planting a seed, mm-hmm, like you said. Mm-hmm. What a fantastic thing. All right, so one more time. Our time is winding up here, but one more time, just tell us, and I'm thinking there might be some listeners out there who have youth, who maybe there isn't a strong parish youth group at the parish they're attending, or maybe they need a little extra boost there too. So we need to know how to get in touch with you. So can I ask you, Annie, to give us that website and call and phone number again?
Absolutely. So our website is partnership4youth.org, and our phone number is 952-224-0333. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well, Amy Cummings, Annie Colling, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks,
thank
Patrick.
You, Patrick.
God bless you.
Bless you too.
We're going to go into our next break. Lots of great stuff. And you know what? Youth like movies, too. We're going to talk movies when we come back with Anne Morant. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Perrin, our producer. Crystal Crocker is in for Susanna today. And Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Summer means movies for many of us. I remember reflecting back just a few years back, my wife and I had the summer basically off. I was on a 10-month work agreement, and my wife, being a teacher, had the summer relatively open. And in so doing, we decided that we would go to some bargain movies. And so we went almost every week in the summer to see a matinee. So we didn't spend a lot of money, but we went to see a matinee, and it was a great summer. Unfortunately, my movie watching has fallen off since then. But joining me now to help me out in studio is a friend of mine, good friend of mine, Anne Morath, who has been an RCA sponsor at the Cathedral, where we've worked together there. And she is also on faculty at Trinity School at River Ridge, which she has been since 2016. She got her BA in history at Hillsdale and her MA at Catholic Studies here at the University of St. Thomas. So, Anne, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Patrick. Happy to be here with you.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Now, let's start with just movies in general. There might be some listeners who are out there saying, I try to stay away, which I got to say, there's a lot of movies that it would be better for my soul if I did not see them. But I don't think that that's necessarily the Catholic attitude, yeah?
Yeah, no, I think movies are an art form, right? Film is an art form, and it's one that's really common in our culture today. And the church has always taken advantage of the many different art forms that are available to the world. And we make beautiful things. Catholics are in the business of making beauty, right? Mm-hmm. So I think films are really remarkable and incredible way to show stories that are true and good and beautiful. And of course, our society, like you said, doesn't always know how to do that well.
Yeah, right.
But Catholics should definitely take advantage of the art that's being produced by our culture and leaven it.
Right.
With the gospel.
Leaven it with the gospel. In fact, I had a friend once who said that every movie, now follow me here, every movie presents at least a portion of the gospel, even if it's only to say how depraved humanity has become.
Preach, brother.
Yeah,
you like that?
All right.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can go out and see whatever we want. I think
right. There
needs to be some discretion, which is why you're on the program today. So what are some things, I mean, given what you said about movies being an art form and us leavening that form of art with the gospel.
Sure.
What are some of the criteria that you would recommend people use? And I realize this might change from adults to children, obviously, parents
yep.
being different than adults going to see a movie, that you would use to evaluate whether or not you would go and take in a film?
Man, that's a tough question. You know, I would say for me, is the movie well made? Is it actually... a well-acted, well-written, well-produced movie, you know, because I think Catholic art should always be excellent, right? It should, or just art in general, should really aspire towards excellence. So I'd say a movie that is actually excellent has the potential to be more impactful than a movie that is lacking that sort of artistic strength or development. So I would say that's probably my first criteria. And obviously you can't always know if a movie's going to be excellent before you go and see it.
True enough.
I think another thing that is really important in movies is, does the story have hope
yeah.
or redemption?
Yeah.
You know, we can bear a lot of the darkness of reality if we know that there's a meaning and a purpose. And I think a lot of the best stories, right, hero stories, love stories, the stories that we all know, the narratives that underpin our life, really hinge on this issue of, is there hope after all? Is there redemption after all? So I think movies that have that and show virtue, you mm-hmm. know, are really the ones you should be watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think movies do that more or less. I think, you know, successfully. And
right.
it's important to really, I think, praise the ones that do that well.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate your answer. That's very good. I would say that those would resonate well with me as well, especially the hope and redemptive piece.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I think the way we human beings are wired, I think a lot of times we do kind of naturally come into that. We naturally set ourselves up in the midst of the tension that inevitably arises. That's what makes a story good, right? Is that there's some form of tension that arises, and that there's some sort of resolution that, even if it's not necessarily fulfilled, even if there's a cliffhanger at the end of the movie or something like that, it is still at least hinted at, that you see that there's some promise of a resolution or redemption.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even opportunity for it.
Right.
Right. Like, even if it doesn't happen, right? You were saying, your friend mentioned, all movies or all art shares a message of the gospel, right? Like, you can see that there's, even if the choice wasn't made for that redemption, that it was offered to them, right? That grace is always available. Mm-hmm. And there are really incredible human stories that I think illustrate that without needing to be overt or explicit, right? Mm-hmm. They're just, the story of humanity is a story written by God, right? And so if we can experience those and see those play out and the choices between good and evil that we're faced with every day, I think that those are really essential narratives, even if they're tragedies or right. comedies.
Right? Do you think about all the movies that you see after you've seen them, and do you go home and just reflect on them?
Oh, please. Patrick, you have a high opinion of me.
No.
I hope so. I try to be cognizant, right, of what I'm consuming in the media. And I try to take in, to be reflective as a person in general. But there are certainly times you're like, that was fun.
Right.
But I try to. I try to.
Right.
It's my best honest answer for you.
I understand that. And I guess I brought it up just to say that, yeah, occasionally the kind of, yep, that was a fun little thing and I don't really need to spend my time reflecting on it. There are probably better things I can do. That's probably permissible, at least from time to time. Anyway. Excellent. So you've seen a few movies, and granted, these are out now, so it's not, mm-hmm. it's not as if that we can just kind of we're not doing previews. We haven't been given all this license from all these big movies go and preview some of these upcoming attractions. But I want to talk about a few of them. First of all, this one's been out for a while now, A Quiet Place. You have seen that? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the storyline and then what you found in the movie there, A Quiet Place.
Oh, man. A Quiet Place was an intense film, to put it lightly. It is a film about a family that's living in a post-apocalyptic world where these monsters who are incredibly, they hunt through sound. So if you make loud noises, they come and find you and attack you, and it's quite gruesome. And so this family, in response to this ongoing crisis that started afflicting the world, has lived this very silent, almost, I think Bishop Barron described it this way in his review of the movie, monastic existence.
Wow.
You know, they go throughout their day silently, and they try to avoid making sound in order to keep the monsters away from them. And, you know, it's a thriller, mm-hmm. so it's intense. There's lots that happens. And probably the main drama of the film is that the family finds out that the mother is pregnant, and she's...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I mean, it's early on. It's early on.
All right.
And, you know, there's a lot of questions of, we can't... How do you keep an infant silent, right? How do you give birth silently? How do you do that? And really beautiful pro-life messaging in the film, and themes of sacrifice for love, and what that looks like for a family to face great evil together with charity and patience and forbearance and courage. So even though it's a thriller and a monster movie, right? And I was on the edge of my seat having a panic attack almost the whole movie, is incredibly thematically beautiful. And the way it is real about the threats that face us, but then also our response to that.
Wow.
So yeah, it was highly recommend if you have a strong appetite for surviving.
Thriller, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the survival instinct is definitely in there, right? Yeah.
Oh yes.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm interested. I have not seen that. In fact, I've not seen any of these movies that we're talking about today, so I'm not even going to offer an opinion on them. However, I can say that let's talk a little bit about you saw Jurassic World. A Fallen Kingdom, right?
Yes.
I saw that too. Now, just reflecting, when the first Jurassic Park movie came out years ago, I was actually on a MS bike tour, an overnight, and we got to our night-long destination, and my friend and I thought, well, we'll go see a movie. And I saw Jurassic Park, having no idea what it was about. I mean, I knew it was about dinosaurs, but that's about it. But it's launched this whole empire of Jurassic Park and Jurassic World movies and that sort of thing. And there's still a fascination. Now, maybe I'm just speaking as a former little boy, but there's still a fascination with dinosaurs. And I'm guessing that this is equally a fun romp, thrill ride as well. But give us your, first of all, tell us what the movie's about, and then give us some impressions.
Sure. So this is actually funny. I was thinking of this movie when you asked me earlier if I reflectively think about all the movies I watch.
Right.
I watched this with my brother, and he was like, I was thinking through it and processing with him, and he's like, you know, Anne, I think it's Jurassic Park.
I think you're overthinking.
But the Jurassic World movie, Fallen Kingdom, which I think is an interesting title, and I want to think about that a little bit, is the island where Jurassic Park is has been abandoned based off the last movie.
Left to the dinosaurs,
yeah. But there's this huge volcano on the island that's about to explode and kill all the dinosaurs. So there's this big contentious debate about whether or not they should save the dinosaurs or see this as an act of God. That's the words they use. An act of God to let them die. That we messed with history by taking the DNA from the dinosaurs and creating this sort of monstrous problem of having all these dangerous animals. And so they ask, you know, is this an act of God? Should we just let this go and let the dinosaurs die? Of course, there'd be no movie if they let all the dinosaurs die. So, you know, they go and run this rescue mission and it gets co-opted and leads to many interesting implications and problems as the rescue mission takes a turn.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it there.
Ooh, yeah. Cliffhanger right there. And my understanding is that Chris Pratt's character, Owen, he's specifically in search of one of the raptors that he kind of brought up.
Yes.
Is that right?
Blue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And with that being the sense, I almost wonder, is there a little bit of that? I mean, we still have an ongoing, relationship with creation, relationship particularly with the animal kingdom, that between humans and animals, that there seems to be this, on our part anyway, this continued effort to bridge that gap to, in a good way. I'm not saying that we're all, you know, we're all the same stuff, but to say, okay, well, here's another opportunity for human beings to tend the garden, to look out after creation. Any thoughts along those lines?
Oh yeah. Lots of thoughts. I think that the movie, however deep you want to make it, right?
Sure.
I think is really actually wrestling with that question. I think there's a lot of Edenic imagery and fallen kingdom, right? Like the fall, this kingdom. I think that it's all playing with that. And there's a lot of questions about, are we the masters of creation or are we the servants of creation?
Yeah.
You know, they're playing with genetic, like eugenic material, right? And they've bred these things. And there's lots of that continues on in the film. And a question they ask frequently is, we played God, what do we do now?
Right.
Right? We brought this back. Can we put the evil that we created back in the box, Pandora's box that we opened? Or how do we manage it? Do we have the strength to manage it well? And, you know, you see characters, well, not characters, animals like Blue, the raptor that Chris Pratt's character is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And she's this vicious animal, but she has this empathy and this sort of ability to work with humans. But then you have these monsters, right? These other dinosaurs that are being bred that are killing machines, mm-hmm. right? And so it's interesting. I think the film is really playing with this. What is our relationship to nature? What is our relationship to animals and to creation? And can they be good, or can we trust them? Can we manage them? Can we train them? Can we tend the garden that we've created through these, you know, advanced technologies?
Right.
And I don't know if the film makes a statement either way. I think it kind of lets you live in that tension of we acted God and now we have these implications that were beyond our intentions.
It's something well worth considering, because I think a lot of movies make their money off of that particular question. I'm thinking of all sorts of things, not necessarily, well, this is relating to both technology and to the animal kingdom, but a lot of times technology is at the forefront of this, that we, with artificial intelligence and all the things that we're working on that way, that we've created this race of machines, going all the way back to my teenage youth, probably shouldn't have seen the movie when I did, as early as I did, but things like The Terminator all the way up to and through The Matrix. And I mean, just time and time again, we keep, in fact, there's another Keanu Reeves movie recent this year, I believe, Replicas, which is actually, I think this is part of the trailer, is that his family dies in a car crash and he's trying to utilize technology to bring them back from the dead. And that, of course, gets out of hand. So it's one of those things, right, that it's an interesting thing. Why do you think we're so fascinated about this tension between humans and, as once we play God, then living with the consequences? Any thoughts?
I have many thoughts. I actually wrote my master's thesis at Catholic Studies on this.
Fantastic.
my title was literally, "And You Will Be Like God, Technological Mastery."
Wonderful.
In literature. But, you know, I think with the exponential increase of technology in the recent centuries, we have power that's unprecedented. And we don't know if we have the moral strength or fortitude to really withstand the temptations that come from our technological increase. Mm. And, you know, I think especially in the nuclear age, that's a huge question, right? Like, we've unleashed this monster. Can we use it responsibly? Can we not? And I think the question of responsibility and what we're personally responsible for has been the question of humanity, right? Yeah. Like, here we are in the garden. We're given this thing to care for and to tend. Adam's given a woman to care for and to tend, and Eve, her husband, Adam. And we run it amok. <You know>? Welcome to the story of humanity, right?
Surprise, 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 yes.
You know, but God doesn't annihilate us, right? Mm. In the wake of that fall, he allows us to continue and to try to hobble along in our fallen way, right? Fallen kingdom. To try to rise up to the challenge that sin has caused the world. And so I think there's a lot. I think that's a big question of our time. And I actually think The Incredibles, which is another movie I saw, deals with that same question in a way that's interesting. And I didn't quite know what to make with that. But
okay, this is The Incredibles 2.
Incredibles 2.
Obviously pitched as a kid's movie, right? And I saw the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet. But all right, so as we're wading into this, it pitches that same question about God, man becoming God through technology, that sort of thing. How does it do that?
Yeah, so the villain of the movie of Incredibles 2 is named Screenslaver. And the villain controls people through, enslaves them to the screen. The villain projects some sort of weird encrypted message, and everyone just becomes completely
transfixed,
frozen.
The
villain can actually speak through the people, can occupy the people's brains and co-opt them. So, but it's the villain, right? So someone who's slaving to the screen. So there's all these similar sorts of questions of, you know, how do we live in a world where people don't play games anymore, they watch game shows. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't live life anymore, we watch reality TV. These are the questions that the villain actually poses in the movie. But it's strange because they're doing that same thing.
Right? We're paying our money, in fact, to go and watch this story on the screen.
You're like, here I am, I'm one of them,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Sitting in the theater.
Wow, that's on par with me just telling everybody to turn their radios off right now. Yeah. Wow, okay, that's interesting. And all this is being woven through. What do you think the message for kids in this? Do you think kids will take away that? Will they understand what's being hinted at there?
You know, I'm not sure. I hope so. It's interesting because it's, like I said, the villain. So it's hard to know. It's actually kind of hard to discern what your relationship to this technological problem should be. You mm-hmm. know, is it promoting technology? Is it helping us, making us aware of the dangers of it? Right, things like this. But you know, in a more general way, I think the film is just so fun and shows a great depiction of family life and the tensions and balancing act that is family life. And really praises the heroic within the children and the parents. And so I think that they'll have fun watching it. They may not get the screen slaver thing, but...
Right, and it may be something that they can talk about afterwards, at least that the parents can say, hey, what do you think about this? And ask them a question, right? I think that's an important thing. Well, there's a bunch of other movies coming out. If you know, you're talking about it, thinking the Incredibles are this incredible family of superheroes, right? Well, they have superpowers anyway, and you see some of the family tensions, and there's a lot of that making its way into all the superhero movies as of late, and there's a lot of them coming out this summer. There's Deadpool 2, there's Ant-Man and the Wasp, the Avengers, of course, Infinity War, and you know, these are all superhero movies, and it always strikes me that it's always a bit angsty now, that there's always something. Yeah, you may have superpowers, but that doesn't mean that life is perfect. Real quick, because we just have a couple minutes left, but any thoughts on that? As if we have superpowers, but life, that doesn't make life perfect, what's the message there?
You know, I think that the thing that they always appeal to, right, they have all these amazing superhuman powers, but the thing that really is redemptive in the end is love, right? Even though they can, you know, break down a building with their bare hands, what they really need are their relationships and friends and family. And every hero story, I think, almost has to manifest this weakness that and vulnerability that love creates. But then through that, they're redeemed. And then they're able to fully use their powers. But they have to orient it toward that good end, not toward the ends that corrupt us all the time, right? Like sinful ends. Mm-hmm. They always have to say, I submit this power to a love that runs deeper. So I think that's really at the heart of all these superhero films. Sometimes.
Well,
but at least in many I've seen.
Quite frequently. I can remember going all the way back to my childhood and the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. And it was always, you know, Lois Lane was always there. Anyway, Anne Murath, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour and talking movies. I look forward to maybe someday seeing a movie with you.
That'd be great. Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Thank you. We're going to head into our final break. When we come back, we've got some other events coming up here to build and deepen your faith, to share with you about what you can do this summer to stay cool and stay close to the Lord. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3% with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Bye now.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Paul, happy feast day.
Yes, yes. Now, by way of explanation, I was not technically named after St. Paul. I have a brother named Peter who was named after my mother's uncle.
That's amazing.
And my mother just thought it would be nice to have a Peter and Paul.
It would absolutely.
Without a lot of religious, theological, spiritual connotation to it. However, I have a great admiration for Paul. He's so earthy and so conflicted and is so willing to admit that conflicted nature that he has.
Absolutely correct. Oh. Well, happy feast day to you and brother then. What do we got coming up?
Tons of things. All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Summer Theology on Tap series at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Topics focus on faith and contemporary issues directly affecting the lives of young adults. Join us Wednesday, July 11th for Grill the Priest with Father John Ubel, Social Hour, 6:30 to 7:30. We'll hear from Father Hubel at 7:30. For more information, visit the events page, archspm.org, or visit the Cathedral Young Adults Facebook page.
The Archdiocese is hosting a special screening of the new documentary, Sexual Revolution, 50 Years Since Humana Vitae, at St. Agnes School in Helen Houle Auditorium on Wednesday, July 25th from 5:30 to 9 p.m. This documentary examines the effects of the free love experiment of the hippie generation and the prophetic encyclical Humanae Vitae. The centerpiece of the film is the dramatic life story of Alana Newman, a talented secular musician who gives up her entire musical career for life, family, and love, yet ultimately discovers the treasures of theology of the body, Humanae Vitae, and the riches of true freedom. Order tickets at archspm.org/events.
Grandparents, join Bishop Andrew Cousins for Prayer in Real Life, an evening for grandparents, Thursday, August 16th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Golden Valley. Bishop Cousins will speak on how to pray in real life as grandparents. Let us pray more diligently for our grandchildren. All grandparents are invited to attend. Free will offering will be collected at the event. Refreshments will be provided. There is no cost to attend. Register and find more details, including a flyer, on the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Be transformed and transform the world. The Office of Evangelization is excited to announce the Missionary Discipleship Series coming this fall. This series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker and time for reflection, prayer, and Q&A with the speaker. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. There will be a series starting this October at St. Hubert in Chanhassen, and a series for young adults specifically taking place at the Church of St. Peter in Mendota. And that sounds like a fantastic series, but you know, Crystal's in the office or in the studio here today. She is doing our Facebook Living again. I just wanted to remind all of our listeners that if you have Facebook, then join us Friday mornings, 9 to 10 a.m., to see some of these interviews. First, that's Facebook at 9 to 10 a.m. on Friday mornings for Facebook Live and the Rediscover Hour. So, as we wind down, next week we're going to take the week off. We're going to be replaying our interview with the seminarians who are now priests. Great interviews there, so go back and listen to that. And in the meantime, have a happy and safe 4th. Go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.